Thank the Lord this morning for his goodness, for his blessings to us. He's so good.
Yes, he is.
He is so good. I want to speak this morning about humility. I was pondering on Jesus, his humility. Pondering on how he came to the earth and humbled himself and condescended to be born here on earth and be subject to all of the same things that humanity brought on humanity. They brought it on themselves, but he condescended and came down and humbled himself and said, I'll go, you can send me, I'll be the sacrifice to bring them all back to us, Lord. And I was thinking how that even then, that when he was on the earth and how he was subject to parents, that obviously at points in his life, as he became of age and as he grew up, that he understood and knew more than they knew, but he was subject. How he learned a trade. He knew he wasn't going to be here to work in this trade for many, many years. And he knew that he was what his real calling was and what God wanted him to do and all. And at 12 years old, he was telling his parents, you know, I must be about my father's business. And yet he humbled himself. And he went home with them and was subject unto them until it was time for him. Then he was subject to all the people. All the people that he humbled himself to deal with mankind and all their problems and all their diseases. And he humbled himself to go to the cross and actually die. Let them torture him and spit on him and disrespect him, you know. In this day and age, it seems like everybody's screaming that they don't get any respect, but yet our Savior humbled himself and he got no respect. And he humbled himself to the death on the cross, knowing that most of the world was going to consider it foolishness and that it wasn't going to mean anything to them. But there were going to be a few throughout the ages of time, in every generation, there were going to be some that would count it as the most glorious thing, but yet he was willing to humble himself, knowing that he was going to be mocked, and even down through the ages of time, when he came to the earth, he knew he was going to be mocked. There was always going to be those that didn't believe in him and all, and God himself humbled himself to come down and let that happen to him. For us. And as I was pondering on these things, and the Lord was talking to me about what does our humility look like? Does our humility look like his humility? Where we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and it doesn't matter what people think, and it doesn't matter how they talk to us, and it doesn't matter if they respect us, and it doesn't matter. We're just about our Father's business. Is that how we are? Is that how we respond in this earth? We need the Lord to help us to understand the great humility that God had when he came to this earth, and that how we owe him our life. We owe him the fact that we are saved today and living for him, and the fact that we are going to someday be able to live with him. We owe it all to him. It's nothing we did. He did it all for us and enabled us to be able to follow in his footsteps. So we want to talk this morning about what our humility is supposed to look like. We want to start in Luke 14. And we want to read the scripture here, 14, starting at the 7th verse. No, I don't want to start at the 7th verse. I want to just start at the 11th verse. And I just want to read this one verse. I want all of us to understand the law of humility. There is a law involved in humility. It can never be broken. It can never be changed. And it says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. It's a statement. It can never be changed. No matter who they are, if they're leaders of countries, if they're different kinds of leaders, if they're anywhere that there is a man that exalts himself, he is coming down. He is going to be abased. And then it says, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's what we have found. That when we came unto the Lord, before we came to him, we were pretty high in our own understanding, pretty high in our own expectations, pretty high in how we thought about ourselves. Thought we were pretty smart, thought we understood a lot of things. Really thought that we had it together, maybe in our minds. But when we came to the Lord and we humbled ourselves, then we found out what real exaltation was. When God exalts a man, it isn't going to be his name is going to be remembered. And it isn't going to be that he is going to be something special here on this earth, although some of that may happen. But when God exalts a man, he brings him out of himself. He says, you don't have to live underneath where you've been thinking. You don't have to live underneath where you've been living. You don't have to live underneath all the things that you got yourself into and you didn't let anybody help you and where you ended up. And all. You don't have to live under there. When you humble yourself to me, I'm going to exalt you. And that exaltation, it isn't going to be worldly. It isn't going to be, though you may be remembered. But what are you going to be remembered for? You're going to be remembered that there was a real man of God. There was a real saint of God. There was a real woman of God. Yes. That's the exaltation. Why? Because there is nothing outside of God. Outside of God, there was nothing. We weren't even here before God created. So it says that when we humble ourselves, that we'll be exalted. Where are we going to be exalted? We are going to be exalted to God's kingdom. You know, God had a kingdom before we came on the scene. He had a kingdom. He had a kingdom. It was a glorious kingdom in the heavens. The angels were there. There was all the wonderful things that he had created where he lived. And he exalts us to his place, to where he lives. We are going to know someday things that we don't know here. We are going to understand some things that we could never, ever comprehend here. We are going to have knowledge of things that we could have never expanded our minds far enough to get a hold of. We are going to be exalted because we humbled ourselves. We're going to be exalted to God's understanding and knowledge. That knowledge that created a human being. None of us can do that. Right. None of us can figure out all the different scientific things. Oh, scientists are so consumed with themselves and they have all manner of awards and prizes and things like that to exalt humanity on this earth. And what if they discovered something God already knew?
Right.
That's it. God already knew. They just finally figured it out. They just finally got a glimpse. And they'll tell you it's just a glimpse. They'll tell you that it's just a glimpse. Oh, I got this glimpse of something, and it expands their whole mind, and they spend the rest of their life searching and hunting and trying to expand that even further because they got a glimpse of what God knows. So, when we humble ourselves, the Lord said, I will exalt you. when we exalt ourselves, when we look to promote ourselves, he said that they will be abased. In other words, brought down, brought low. It won't work. Oh, there are so many, many places where man feels like that he has something to offer. Something to offer. But it's not even comprehensible on a scale of what God has to offer. It's not even on the bottom rung of a scale, the bottom place. It's not even there when men figure things out, because God already has it all figured out. God already put it into practice. He already created it. They're just finding out what he already knows. So this is God's law, that if you humble yourself, I will exalt you to places that you have no comprehension or understanding of where you can go. But if you exalt yourself in your ideas and how you think and what you think about things, if you put that up as high, he said, I'll bring you down. I will bring you down. Why does he have to do that? Is it because he's mean? Is it because he's so self-centered, he can't stand to have anybody else get any glory? Is that what's going on? No. It's because he knows that humanity, left to themselves, will exalt themselves past his knowledge, and exalt themselves, and they will never, ever figure out what he has in store for them. Never figure out why we were created all together. Never figure it out, because they will exalt their own thinking, their own knowledge. He's trying to protect us, dear ones. So, you remember in the scriptures where that Pharisee stood before and he was praying in the temple? And there was a sinner man came in, just a lowly sinner man, didn't have a title, Pharisee. Didn't have a title. And he just came in. And the one is exalting all of his good works before God. And he even goes so far. And this is the problem. This is what God understands about us. That if we get to exalting ourselves, we will look down on others. It is a law in itself. If you exalt yourself, you will look down on others. And so he's looking at the one next to him. And this one's coming and he's just humble. He doesn't know what, he's beside himself. He doesn't know what to do. He's smoting his breast and saying, oh, have mercy on me, a sinner. I just know where I am. I just know who I am. Just have mercy on me. And the other one is saying, and I'm not even like him. Because I fast and I do this and I do all these works, you know. And what did the Lord say? He said, the man that humbled himself, smote on his breast, said, I know nothing, I understand nothing, I'm just coming to you as a sinner, I need your help. He said he was going to go to his house justified. In other words, God took note, and he said, oh, another humble one. So he will be exalted in due time. He'll be exalted. He's going to have the things that he needs, and he's going to have, in the end, the wonderful kingdom of God that we know so little about. All right? There's another law of humility. And that is in James 4:6. James 4 and 6. But it says here, he giveth more grace. Now we've heard about God's grace. It's his favor. It's his favor, his love expressed to us personally, favor. And he says he gives more of that. Where? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we want more grace. We want more of that favor. We want God, when we talk to him, we want him to listen. When we ask things of him, we want him to grant them. We want to be able to have all the things that he promised us. But he said here that he giveth more grace, more favor to the humble. Now he understands that all of us from time to time discover some pride in our life. We've all, down through the ages that we have been living for the Lord, we've discovered some pride in our life. We've seen it. We've understood it. We come to the Lord and we say, and many of us come to the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't even know that that was there, and I didn't even realize that was pride in me. But Lord, take it out and all. And what it, and the scripture here says, he's going to give you more grace there. He's going to give you more of his favor. But if you exalt yourself, if you just exalt yourself, if you just want to always be the one that's right, you want to be the smartest one in the room, you want your thoughts to be way higher than everybody else's thoughts, and you feel like that, oh, you understand things more deeply than somebody else, if you are in a place where you feel like that everybody should listen to my words, you're not going to have the grace of God. You're not going to have favor with God. God looks upon that, and he looks at you, and he says, "What? How foolish for a man who is created, and even the workings of his brain, and everything that he thinks he has to offer the world, even the workings of his brain, I gave it to him. Even the fact that he can figure out things, which the brain was made to do, it was made to reason and be able to figure some things out. Do you think it's all just accident that some people figure things out? No. God, they're humble. And God gives them more grace. He helps exalt. He does those things because we're humble. Dear ones, we have nothing to be proud of. Everything that's been given to us, good or bad, it's come from somewhere else. We were born into this world with nothing. Our body operated, worked. That's all we had. And we weren't even in charge of that. God was in charge of it coming to life. God was in charge of it, us coming into the world. Then our parents were there protecting us. All these different people. But you know what? They started imparting to us from the time we were little babies what is important in life. Some parents feel like that, oh, being with their children all the time and loving them and hugging them and instilling in them these kinds of things, that that's good for them. And other parents feel like they can go off and be in daycare centers and different places and anywhere, and it's okay. You know, there's nothing that will happen to them. They'll socialize more. They'll have more of it. See, everything that happened to us was in somebody else's hands. And everything we learned was something else that they taught us. What do we do when we grow up? Didn't you have in your mind? I had in my mind. I don't think I'm unique. But I had in my mind. There's some things my parents did I'm not doing. Right? Isn't there? You look back and you say, oh no, I'm not doing that. No, you thought there were some things that they were just unjust in, and I'm never going to do that. Where did you get that? You think that you got that all on your own? You think that that's something that you looked on a situation, and you saw that it was an unjust situation, and you came to this wonderful discovery that if I do this different when I'm a grown-up, that the results will be different? Because see, that's what we're wanting. We're wanting different results. But yet, if God hadn't protected your mind, if he hadn't blessed you, if he hadn't helped you, you wouldn't even have a mind to do different. There are many people that have wasted their minds. They've taken drugs and all kinds of things, and they've ruined their minds. They've ruined them. You don't think God was there trying to stop all that? You don't think they heard many things about don't do this? But then there was the other side, Satan's side, and he's there trying to get them to do it. Oh, listen, we have grandiose ideas about what we're going to do in life. Yes. We grow up with some very unhumble ideas about where we can go in life. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to do this and I'm going to accomplish that and I'm going to be the first one in my family to do this or whatever. We have all these grandiose ideas about us. But you know what we don't have? We don't have a good understanding of what our weaknesses are.
That's true.
See, we're going from strength to strength in our own mind. Okay, I'm strong in this and now I'm going to get stronger. And disregard all of our weaknesses. All of the things that fight against us all the time. Where the enemy, he's concentrating on working with our weaknesses. God is concentrating on working with our strength. But you know what? Until you give your life to the Lord, that other side is still going to run your life.
Yeah.
See, it's still going to run your life. Mm-hmm. Those weaknesses are just going to get weaker and weaker. Oh, we have these grandiose ideas. Things we're going to do in life.
Yeah.
So we make a plan. Isn't that what men are doing all the time, making plans? Haven't you made some plans? I've made some plans. My husband and I made some plans.
Yes.
But he wasn't here for the plans we were making. We were planning what we were going to do on our 50th wedding anniversary. We didn't make it to 50.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You're planning.
Sorry.
It's the way our mind works. There's nothing wrong in planning as long as you realize that plans go awry.
Yeah.
Your plans will be interrupted. Do you know that there are some people in life that can't take the interruption of their plans? They fall all apart when everything doesn't go exactly how they planned it. They don't have the stamina to go through the hard things in life as well as the easier things. They don't have the stamina to be able to say when things are going bad that I can still go forward. And so they lose something. They lose, some lose their minds. When the stock market had the great collapse and there were people that didn't know how to live without their money, how to live without their businesses and all of these things, how they were going to have to look around. They had seen all the poor people. They had seen all the people, you know, languishing and this and that. And who knows if they helped them or not. I don't know. But they couldn't picture themselves being one of them. Do you hear what I'm saying? They had such grandiose ideas about themselves, thinking that I'm some kind of privileged something because I'm way up here, and if they worked harder, they could be there too. Mm-hmm. See, you get those grandiose ideas, you start looking down on others. People go out, they make up their mind, I'm going to accomplish this, I'm going to accomplish that. And when things don't work out,
yes,
they fall apart. Oh, they fall into depression. They fall into anguish. They turn to drugs or alcohol or whatever because their ideas didn't come true. Humility can solve those problems. When you turn your life over to the Lord and you let Him lead you and you let Him tell you, and you can rest and be confident in that He always does it the right way.
Yeah.
And He never does it in a way that's going to hurt you. He always does it in a way that will help you.
Yeah.
Even though you may have to go through a hard time to get there, it's all meant for your good.
Yeah.
Where when we make our own plans, oh, we may go through some really, really hard places. And God didn't intend for you to be there. And do you know, God would have never let you go there because He knew you can't live through that. You can't have a right mind coming through that on the other side. He knew you all together. He He knew what would make you. He knew what would break you. So does the enemy. So people make their own ideas, their own plans, exalt their mind against the knowledge of God. And they say, what do they say to God? Later. That's what they say. Nobody ever intends to die in this world and not be saved. Anybody that knows truth, anybody that knows that they can be saved, they don't intend to die that way. But what do they say? Later. Later. While I work out my plans, because my plans are so good. My plans are so exalted. Much bigger than what you would have in store for me. Why is it some people are so determined to work out my own plans before I come to the Lord? It's because they're afraid of what the plans are that the Lord has. They're afraid. Why? Because it doesn't give them the best. They're afraid they're not going to get the best. They're afraid they're not going to get the best job. They're afraid they're not going to get the best husband or the best wife. Or they're afraid that maybe they won't get any. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. Oh, maybe the Lord will call me to preach and I'll have to. I've seen how this goes. And, you know, they have all these ideas. So they exalt their knowledge against the knowledge of God and say, you know what? I'm going to work all these things out for myself first. And then I'm going to come to you, Lord. But you know what they find out? That the longer they stay there working out their own things, their own plans, working their own future, trying to see out there and predict what's going to happen. If I just stay on this path, this is where I'm going, this is where I'm headed, it will all be good. They find out the longer they stay out there on that path, the harder it gets to come back and humble yourself. The harder it gets to be able to just say, Lord, you know what's best.
Yes. Amen.
Isn't that one of the comforts that we have as children of God? Is that when things get in a tangle and we don't understand what's up, what's down, where it's going or anything, and we're confused, very confused, what's our next step or whatever, isn't it comforting to know that there's somebody that knows the next step? It's not a fortune teller, a palm reader, because people are dependent on those.
Yes.
No, it's just God himself.
Amen.
That has a plan for me and that wants to be with me and that wants to teach me and that wants to lead me down a path that is perfectly situated and planned for me.
Yes.
Just for me. It may not be somebody else's plan,
right,
but it's for me.
Thank you,
you know, all the plans out in the world, they all end up with money and fame. They all end up there. Every plan that anybody has ever made is for money or fame. That's the end result. That's what they're after. They're running after money and fame. And the Lord says, that'll get you in trouble.
Lord,
it'll get you in trouble. How many people that have money do you know that don't have an awful lot of troubles and things that are happening all the time? How many people do you know that went after fame that weren't disappointed at some point in time? You know, because fame doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. It's only while you're young and one of the beautiful people. It's only while you're in style. It's only until the next famous one boots you out. And there's somebody that has more money, more prestige, more respect. And so you're clamoring, clamoring, clamoring for all those things. When God says, come unto me, I'll give you some rest. You know what? You won't have to fight so hard anymore. Because I have a plan for you. And it's perfect for your personality. for how I can use you, for what you can do in this earth to actually be remembered for that will be lasting. I have something for you. Why is it in the Old Testament we hear about David's and we hear about Noah's and Abraham's? Because they were the ones that humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. And we read about them through the ages of time. But there were many others. There are many in, you can read through one of the books, I don't remember which book it is, and it's just king after king after king after king. And this one didn't live for the Lord. And then this one came, and he only reigned so far, and he didn't live for the Lord. And this one came, and we don't even know their names. If it wasn't written down in here, we wouldn't even know. And we don't really ever talk about them. They're not famous in any way. But they ran a whole kingdom for years. But because they ran it their own way, it's not remembered. It's not remembered. There are millions of people. Because they run their kingdom their own way, they're separated from spouses, separated from children, separated from society. Because they ran it their own way. Humility. God wants us to have and understand that he is supreme and that our plans will never work outside of him. There will always be the hope of it. There will always be the vision of it. There will always be the striving for it. But it will never come to pass like we think it will. See, we don't take into consideration all of the responsibilities and things that come along with the many of the plans that we make. But God does. And when he leads you down a path, he understands the responsibilities you're going to have. And he begins to work in you the things that you will need to fulfill the responsibilities that are there. When you go after your own, you're not equipped, dear ones. You're not equipped to be able to run your own life. Jesus condescended to come down here because he needed to be able to tell us, I know what you're going through. I faced it. I felt it. I had emotions. I had places where I would rather not have gone down the path that was chosen for me by God. There are places that things happened and I saw things and I was involved in things that I would have rather not. But he had everything he needed to fulfill the task. And when he found himself in a place where he didn't maybe have as much as he needed, he sought his father and got it. We are foolish, foolish people when we feel like we can run our lives, make plans for our future, choose and pick and do all these things, and that it's all going to work in the end because it's not sanctioned by God. It can't work in the end. The devil's going to mess it up some kind of way. He doesn't want you to be successful. But he will lead you down a path that looks like you're about to grab something that you've been looking for and wanting, and I'm about to get a hold of it, and I'm about to grab it, and I'm about to have what I've always wanted. And then he pulls the rug out from under you. I had that happen in my life. I'm sure others have had it happen. There's a law with God. If you exalt yourself, you're coming down. If you exalt your ideas, they're not going to be working. If you exalt your knowledge, it isn't going to be perfected knowledge. So it's not going to work. If you exalt anything about you, it's not going to work. The other side says, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Oh, there's been some that were martyrs on this earth. You would look at that and say, that doesn't look like a victory to me. Oh, yes, it is. Because, see, the greatest victory that we are going to have is to be in God's kingdom with Him.
Yes.
See, that's the greatest victory.
Yes.
Because until we're in a place where we're totally safe and protected from the enemy and all of his workings, we are never going to have what we would call true happiness. We don't even know what that is. We know what it is scattered among our sorrows here and there on the earth. We know what it is to have peace beyond all understanding when all of the things are falling apart around us. But we don't know what it is to have peace and all those saints, and nothing's falling down. And nothing's dragging us to a new purpose. Nothing is. We're going to have things that will fulfill us throughout eternity. We won't be having to search for the next thing, search for the next thrill, search for the next fun thing to do, the next whatever. We won't have to do it. It will all be there offered to us, and we will just go from glory to glory to glory. There won't be no restrictions. Here we have restrictions. We're restricted if we're a female, restricted if we're a male, restricted if we're a certain race, restricted in all manner of things in this life. But there we won't be. There will be no restrictions on all of the things that God has prepared for his people. But here, when we exalt our own mind and our own ways and everything that we think we are, and we exalt that past the knowledge of God and say, later, Lord, that's when you know that you're making really a very, very huge mistake. When you say later, Lord, when we're not even promised later. See, we even, listen, our minds are capable of understanding that we are not promised later. How smart are we? We know that's possible. We know that we may be gone tonight, but we're not making any preparations for the soul. We're just holding back. How smart is that? How together do we have? How exalted is our minds working when we know we could pass out into eternity now and we're not making any preparations? You see how little our understanding is? And even when we have a real good understanding that we are facing this, I'm still gonna do it this other way. We need to humble ourselves before God, brothers. We need to humble ourselves down. Let God lead us and guide us. We don't have to make all these life's decisions on our own. He will lead us. He will guide us. And this isn't, he isn't going to thunder in your head. He isn't going to ride on the wall. He just wants to lead you. A little nudge, a little this, a little that. Just turn at his little promptings all through life. He doesn't have to hit us over the head, dear ones. And he refuses to do that. To make us obey. If we want to, we'll seek him till we understand what we're supposed to do. If we get tired of waiting, we'll make our own decision. And he says, so be it. You have that option. You can do that. So be it if you want to take and raise up all of your knowledge against God. So be it. He won't stop you. And if you come to him later, he'll do the best he can with the life you offer him at that point in time. But do you know that life is going to be all tangled up? It's going to be tangled up, twisted up. Much of it is going to be abused, and much of it is going to take you years probably to come out from underneath all the things that the enemy did to you while you were there. Yes. But he will do the best for you, even then.
Yes.
But isn't it better to just go ahead and give it to him? And see what he can do with a whole life that is offered to him. See what he can do with it. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. Let him lead us, guide us, ensure that we're walking along the right path. Isn't it wonderful? You know, some people pay a lot of money for consulting firms. Big business spends a lot of money for consultants. They have sometimes consultants on staff. What are they there for? They think that they know more than they do, so they're on staff so that when I run into a problem, I can run over here and get some advice. They pay big money for it. We have the God of heaven that knows the future, which none of these consultants do. They're guessing. But knows the future and says, well, no, that's the wrong path because this is what's going to happen next year. And you don't know anything about that, and I can't tell you about it, but you know what? I'm going to lead you down this path right here, and it's going to help you avoid all that. And you may never know what you avoided. You may never know what God helped you not to get involved in. You may never know. But he's doing it all the time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Amen.